بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين، بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. The Almighty in Quran says that وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. Elsewhere says وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا, that you will not find a change in the program that Allah has set forth for you, the way that He has set, and that is the initial stages of every being, of everything, is that it is a closed bud. And this, it is a closed seed. And this seed, it has to blossom, it has to open up. If you look into a tree, the initial stages of the tree is that it is a seed. If the right atmosphere, the right heat, light, water is provided to that seed, and if it is bored in the right place, it grows. It blossoms and people benefit from it. The same thing is with human beings. The initial stages are that it is closed. It opens up, it blossoms, it grows. The better it grows, the better it will be bought in the hereafter. And the reports, they say that it would be bought at a lavish price if it grows, alaykum salam, in the right way. Moralities or issues pertaining to the ma'naviyat of an individual, they play an important part in this blossoming of this human being, and as a result of it being bought at a lavish and high price in the hereafter. Among those issues that we learn from the lessons of this tragedy of Karbala are the lessons of freedom. In a report, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu was salam, he says that وَلَا تَكُنْ عَبْدَ غَيْرِكَ وَقَدْ جَعَلَكَ اللَّهُ حُرَّ, that never be a slave of another. When Allah, He has made you free. What does this mean? What is meant by this small phrase of Amir al-Mu'mineen? If you look into the event of Karbala, the lessons that we learn from this great event, the advices that are given by Abu Abdullah regarding this event, which is remarkable, no event ever existed like the event of Karbala, nor will ever come into existence until the Day of Judgment. An event, may that be from the aspect of the tragedy itself, or from the aspect of the creator of this tragedy, which is Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Amazing, miraculous event, and by a miraculous creator of the event, which is Sayyid al-Shuhada. On one side we have Abu Abdullah, on the other we have Yazid. With reference to the creator of this event of Karbala, which is Abu Abdullah, a few years ago a body was being brought to the shrine of Amir al-Mu'mineen to be laid to rest. Now the body of a person who wasn't a good person, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he informs the khuddams, the caretakers of his shrine, that a body is being brought to the shrine of mine and I do not want that body to be laid to rest in this place at any point of this haram of mine. Now the caretakers, they are amazed, the khuddams, that how come the instructions from Amir al-Mu'mineen are that body should not be laid to rest in this haram. All of them get together that under no circumstances will we allow that body to be laid to rest, to be buried here. The whole day they wait, nothing happens, no body is brought to the shrine. And the next day, once again, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he comes into their dreams and informs the khuddams that body that was supposed to come yesterday was delayed, was held up for whatever reason, and will be brought to this haram, to this shrine of mine today. And I want you, the caretakers, the khuddams of my haram, to lay that body to rest, to be buried in the best point of my haram. They object. The instructions yesterday were different. Today they are different. What is the reason? Then Amir al-Mu'mineen says to them, that body of that bad person who was supposed to be buried yesterday was delayed. They took him to Karbala for the tawaf of the wari and the grave of Abu Abdullah. And it so happens that the wind blows and just a bit of the dust of the grave of Abu Abdullah sits on the coffin of this person. And Amir al-Mu'mineen says that dust of the grave of my son has done the job. That is the permit that is being granted to that person to be buried in my haram. So on one side we have a personality miraculous. Now that miracle that could be performed and done by the dust of the grave of Abu Abdullah, then how can we imagine the personality of Abu Abdullah himself? Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says that لا تكن عبد غيرك وقد جعلك الله حرا. Never be a slave of another when Allah has made you free. What is meant by this saying of Amir al-Mu'mineen? With reference to the term which Amir al-Mu'mineen has used over here, Hur means freedom. Now, regardless of what is said and uttered in the media today, the definition of freedom that is said today, we don't want to talk about that, because the freedom which is talked about and we hear day in, day out, it's no freedom. It is the change of identity or the change of the meaning of a definition which we think. Freedom today means slavery. Whenever the term freedom is used by no matter what person or which part of the media, it is equal to slavery. Slavery in every aspect. May that be financially, may that be in a livelihood, may that be related to family affairs, may that be related to education, etc., etc. In every aspect today, freedom gives the meaning of slavery. Here Amir al-Mu'mineen says that never be a slave of another whence Allah has made you a free man. One of the lessons that Abu Abdullah teaches us is this lesson of freedom. Freedom from what? What is the criteria of the freedom which Abu Abdullah mentions over here? Are the 71 associates and the companions of Abu Abdullah, they were the true free men who existed? If you look into the seerah of Aba Abdullah, it is amazing. He says that La ara, that I never, that I haven't seen anyone better than the ashab that were given to me. That is the 71. When he says that there is no one better than the 71 who were my companions, who were my associates, he does not want to show his ignorance, saying that I do not know if there are any. But the real, in the real sense, it is as if he says la ara over here, meaning that if I scan the entire existence of Allah, if all the mankind from the first person, which is Prophet Adam, to the last person, whosoever it will be in the end of time, if we assume the entire population till then will be 100 billion people, here Sayyid al-Shuhada says that if I scan and see all of these human beings that Allah has created from the first till the last, there is no one better than these 71. That is, as if it's only these 71 who are the best and the top notch among the ashab, among the companions, among the associates who were ever given to anyone. The best of them were given to Sayyid al-Shuhada. The reason for that was their freedom, was their hurriya, that they were never a slave of anyone but the slave of Allah, but the slave of God. Today we have slavery of God, which is Allah, on one side. On the other side, we have slavery of fake gods who mislead, who cheat, who deceive. Fir'aun, he claimed to be the God, a fake God. God, he says, worship me. The difference between the two is that when Allah says that be obedient to me, be obedient to Allah, as a result of that obedience to Allah, freedom is sought. How? God, when he says that be obedient to me or be like me, the qualities, the attributes that are present in Allah, he says, I am Alim, I know, I want someone who is related to me. He also should be knowledgeable. He should be aware. Allah, he lives forever. And he wants his servants also to live. And that life which is eternal can be sought in the hereafter. Allah says that I am Qadir. I have that might, that ability. And anyone who is connected and related to me should be mighty, should be powerful, should be strong. This is what the true God says. That is, all the attributes that are present in the true God, they are reflected in the true servant, in the true slave of that true God. On the contrary, we have that fake Lord, may that be fake living Lord or fake dead God. He says, whatever and whosoever gets connected to that fake Lord dies, never lives. Nor do they want anyone who is related to them to live. If you look into the society today, all these gadgets, all these attachments, everything that has been created, whatever you see, the lifestyle, the way everything works, the financial system, in everything you find there is a slavery. And from that slavery there is no way out. A person becomes a slave of that system which he lives in. According to the saying of Amir al-Mu'mineen, لَا تَكُنْ عَبْدَ غَيْرِكَ وَقَدْ جَعَلَكَ اللَّهُ حُرَّ. Never be a slave of another when Allah has made you hur and free. Being a slave of the true God will make you live. Being a slave of the false and the fake Lord will kill you, will ruin you, will not let you live. And this slavery that has been mentioned in this hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen, in this one small phrase, it can be seen in Karbala. And the ulama, they define this slavery as a grave. And they say that as a grave, it's a hole which is closed with no atmosphere in it, with no light, with no heat, with nothing in there, and a body which is laid to rest in that grave, which is dumped into that grave due to the lack of that right temperature, lack of heat, lack of cool, lack of water, whatever, but the presence of all those insects and animals, that body which is laid to rest in that grave, after a while it decays, it rots, it decomposes. Says that slavery is like that grave. As the grave ruins and decays and rots that body, slavery of the fake lord also rots and decays and kills a human being and would never let you live. But someone who is connected and related to Allah, he lives. Both in this life, he lives in the hereafter, he lives in Barzakh. Quran also certifies this issue and says that فَاتَّبَعُوا أَمْرَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَا أَمْرُ فِرْعَوْنَ بِرَشِيدٍ, that these people, they followed the command of Fir'aun, and the command of Fir'aun is never beneficial. That command of Fir'aun will never make you live. The command of Yazid, the command of Muawiyah, the command of the arrogance of the powers of every time, they will never let you live. They will never let you be free. But you have to try and do something. That freedom is sought. With reference to Barzakh, which is going to be the transit area when a person passes from this dunya and arrives in the Qiyamah, that Barzakh wherein the soul of every mu'min, munafiq and kafir will be kept, that soul, some of them will feel 100% what happens in Barzakh. Most of the people, they will not know. Very faint understanding of that Barzakh for them will be seen. For the mu'mineen of that band A, the high caliber, the top-notch ones, they will feel whatever happens in Barzakh totally. And the same with reference to the kuffar, to the criminals of the band A, like Saddam, like Yazid, like Muawiyah, or the makers of these criminals, they will see for sure 100% whatever happens in that Barzakh. Now, the blessings that are present over there for the top-notch will be felt and seen, and the chastisement and the adab for the criminals also will be felt and seen. In a report, the Prophet, he says that the adab for the criminals of that band A, which will be given and seen in Barzakh, it's amazing. Says that if just a window is opened from Barzakh towards the largest mountains of this earth, the heat from that Barzakh, if it glows and blows onto the mountains, these mountains right up to the core of them will glow with heat of that Barzakh, which these criminals of band A will see in that Barzakh. It is a horrifying situation. And then says that if these criminals of band A, like Yazid, like Muawiyah, like Saddam, who committed all these horrendous crimes in this dunya, the Jahannam that will be given to them, if they are brought out of that Jahannam, and if they are thrown into the chastisement of Barzakh, for them that adab in Barzakh, which blows and which will heat up the mountains and which will set them ablaze. For them, those that azab is going to be like a very cool resting place, and they will relax in that azab when they are thrown out of the hell and put into the azab of this barzakh. Now these are those who did not seek freedom by connecting to Allah, or the freedom which Amir al-Mu'mineen says. But the freedom which they talked and which they sought was the freedom of the fake lords. May those lords be living or may they be dead. So someone who is connected to Allah and seeks the freedom from Allah, he lives, and Allah wants him to live. The fake lords, they do not want them to live. They ruin them, they kill them, exactly like the grave. Many a times we find these issues are mentioned, they are uttered, and I'd like to shed a little bit of some light on them. That is, how come the souls of mu'mineen, they do not decompose? Whence it was said that a grave, it decays the bodies of everyone. It decomposes, it rots. But for mu'mineen, that's not the case. Someone who is connected to Allah and has sought that freedom from Allah and is free and is according to the definition said by Amir al-Mu'mineen, لَا تَكُنْ عَدَّ غَيْرِكْ, never be a slave of another, but he was only and only the slave of Allah. These personalities, these people, their bodies, they do not decompose, they don't decay. And this is a philosophical, a mystical issue, which inshallah, if Allah gives an opportunity, will be discussed later. And according to Irfan and philosophy, the bodies of the perfect people, they never decay, they never decompose. It is as if the soul of these personalities, it does not allow the earth or the atmosphere to touch them. In Ray, which is south of Tehran, about 240 years ago, we got the grave of Marhum Sheikh Saduq, among the great ulama of the Shia world. Many books have been written from him. And he dies about 1,000 years ago. It so happens that as a result of a flood, the grave of this great alim is destroyed. The people, they inform the ruler of the time, and a delegation of the best ulama of that time is sent to Ray to rebuild the grave of this great alim. Now, Sheikh Saduq is someone who passed away 1,000 years ago. They come and they see that the basement of that grave, it's all destroyed. They go down, make the grave, and find that the body has been, is not in the grave anymore, it's out of the grave. And they are amazed to see the body is as fresh as if it was the same day that it has been laid to rest. And the reporters, they say that we saw the nails of Sheikh Saduq, because it was the fatwa of Sheikh Saduq. Today, most of the mujtahideen, they say that you should clip your nails on Fridays. It's mustahab. It was the fatwa of Sheikh Saduq. As a precaution, he said that Thursdays and Fridays, and to act in accordance to ihtiyat and precaution of his own fatwa, he clips the nails of one hand on Thursday and the other on Friday. And it so happens that he clips the nails of his one hand on Thursday, and then death, it intervenes, and he did not live, he passes away. The reporters, they say that we saw the nails of his one hand, they've been clipped, and the nails on the other also, they are to be clipped. So someone who has arrived at that high level and has sought that freedom, and that freedom by getting connected to Allah, lives, endures. May that be in this dunya آمدت بی این برزخ، آمدت بی این قیامت. Allah, He wants everyone who is connected to the true Lord to live, and the fake lords, they want them to die, they want them to be ruined, they want them to perish. And the same thing again in one of, and during the before the revolution, we've got a prophet who is buried in Iran called Hayquq. Now, when that prophet lived, we do not know. How many thousand years before, it's unknown. Again, in one of these landslides, the grave of this prophet is exhumed, and they come and see that the body is intact, even the hair, it's intact. Nothing has happened. That is, the soul, if it is strong enough, that soul of an individual, it does not allow the earth, it does not allow the atmosphere, it does not allow anything in the creation of Allah to attack, to decompose, to decay that individual. Amir al-Mu'mineen says that لَا تَكُنْ عَبْدَ غَيْرِكَ وَقَدْ جَعَلَكَ اللَّهُ حُرًّا, that never be a slave of another whence Allah has made you hur, whence Allah has made you free. Sayyid al-Shuhada, he says that the ashab that were given to me were the best. A person, he comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen and says that, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, now this is a hadith which is reported from our sixth Imam. He says that a person comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen and says, Uhibbuk, Imam, I love you. And Imam, he bows down his head, and after a while he raises, and then says, Kazibt, you lied. And then he says that, I love you, Imam. He says, the moment I bowed my head down, that moment I scanned the entire creation of Allah, and I did not find you there. That's why I said that. That claim, it's a false claim. We have to be careful that if someone asks us what would unfold after a minute, we do not know. The reason for that is the lack of connection with Allah. Someone who is connected to Allah, his sight, his seeing, his eyes, they are connected to Allah. Our eyes, they are connected to our heads, to our skulls. So we see what is just before us. During the time of the Prophet of Islam, the Prophet, he was walking in the streets, and a few people, they started mocking at the Prophet. They made fun of him. The Prophet, he neither turned at them, neither he saw them, nor he uttered a word. He just carried on walking in the streets. And the person who mocked the Prophet, it so happened that he shook, he shivered until he died. How is that? The Prophet, he never turned back. He never saw them. He never uttered a word. The reason for that is the eyes of these great personalities are eyes that are connected to Allah, to the sight of Allah. And someone who is connected to the sight, to the hearing, to the seeing of Allah, he lives, he endures. A body which is special, an individual who is special, he is regarded also great. It so happens that in Karbala, there is a hurricane. People, they are scared, frightened. The trees, they started to bend down. And people, they come to the marja'i taqleed of that time, and they say that, what do we do? Do we offer namazi ayat? As the situation is so scary, these winds, they would not stop. Can it be done that a bit of this dust of the grave of Aba Abdullah is blown onto the winds so that they are ashamed and they calm down? They stop blowing. This great alim, he says that the best and the most pious people, a few of them, get together and go to the shrine of Aba Abdullah, to the haram of Aba Abdullah. And there, one of the graves of one of the ashab of Aba Abdullah has opened due to a landslide or whatever it was. And the leg of one of these ashab has been exhumed from that grave. Go and bury that leg again. They say that we come to the shrine of Aba Abdullah where the ashab are laid to rest and are amazed to see that the grave is open and the leg of that sahabi of Aba Abdullah is out of the grave. After 1,000 years, they say that it is as if just today it was laid to rest. The leg is fresh with the footwear in it. The wounds are there. So someone who is connected to Allah lives. Someone who seeks freedom by getting connected to Allah, he lives, he endures. لا تكن عبد غيرك وقد جعلك الله حرا. Never be a slave of another. When Allah, he has made you free. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. In Nahj al-Balagha he says that inna adanakum laysa laha thamanun illa al-jannah fala tabi'uha bighayriha, that these bodies of yours, the price of these bodies is nothing but the paradise. Never sell this body of yours to anything less than the price that has been set by Allah, which is the paradise. So a huge price has been set for just a body of this individual. فَلَا تَبِعُوهَا بِغَيْرِهَا. Again, with reference to this freedom that Amir al-Mu'mineen talks about, Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, when he sets down in Karbala, Umar al-Saad, he has meetings almost every day. They want Aba Abdullah to extend his allegiance to Yazid, and in all these meetings, day in, day out, and all of that was to avoid this battle to unfold and from this massacre to happen. How they tempt the Imam? They say that you are just 58 years of age, which is not an age, it's not an old age. We will give you all the wealth, all the riches. If you need land, that land will be provided to you. Whichever part of the world you would like to settle, that will be made available to you. May that be Mecca, may that be Medina, wherever you want, we'll settle you there. Just extend your allegiance to Yazid and that's it. In reply, Imam says, La wallah, by God, never, never will I accept. La takun abda ghayrik wa qad ja'alaka Allah hurra. Never be a slave of another. And then Imam says that La ara al-maut illa sa'ada, that I do not see death but prosperity, and that death for us, it is an honor. And truly, that death for the sake of God, connected to God, it is an honor. The martyrdom of Aba Abdullah and Hussein, the shahada of the 71 associates of Aba Abdullah and Hussein, it evolved everything. If you see goodness today, which has remained as goodness, values that have remained as values, if you see orators talking, and if you see all of these fada'il virtues being delivered, it is as a result of the sacrifice of these 71 companions and associates of Aba Abdullah. If ulama are there, if fuqaha are there, if mujtahideen are there, it is all as a result of that freedom which they sought, and that is by getting connected to Allah. Among the companions of Abu Abdullah is Hur. Hur is someone who was on the negative side, who ends up in the positive side. The adab, the manners which Hur possesses, they are amazing. The reports, they say that when the caravan of Abu Abdullah came to Karbala and had set down, meetings took place between Hur, who is the commander of an army and has 1,000 men with him. And over here it is just Abu Abdullah with 71 with him. It so happens that after a lengthy talk, the azan is heard and Abu Abdullah says that we stop here and we will continue after prayers. Says that I will lead with my companions the prayers on this side. You carry on with your prayers with your 1,000 men on the other. Hur says that, Ibn Rasulullah, how can I lead prayers for them whence you are present over here, the grandson of the Prophet. Adab, which Hur possesses, amazing. And then again, after the prayers, they continue with their talk, and again the instructions that were given to Hur, those instructions they are given to Abu Abdullah, and he says that extend your allegiance to Yazid. And when the dialogue heats up, Abu Abdullah, he says to Hur, sakhalatka ummuk, means that Hur, may your mother cry on you, that is, death be to you, may you die. He being the commander of those 1,000 men, he could have said something back to Abu Abdullah. He says that, Ibn Rasulullah, you said that to me, no one ever uttered such words to me. You said, may my mother weep and cry for me. How can I say that? Whence your mother is Zahra, Sayyidatu Nisa'il Alameen. Adab, manners which Hur possesses. And as a result of that Hurriya, as a result of that freedom which this Hur he possesses, and with this adab which he has, and the respect he shows to Abu Abdullah in Karbala, on the day of Ashura, he evolves. He changes. And then when he comes to Abu Abdullah and says that, will you forgive me? Will you accept me? Imam opens his arms and says that, yes, I will accept you. Your mother named you Hur, means free, and you are free in this dunya and in the hereafter. Amazing characters we see, amazing personalities we see in this tragedy and in this event of Karbala. Among these people who are great and who are free, according to the definition and description shown by Amir al-Mu'mineen, is Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. When the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen is born, and Amir al-Mu'mineen is informed that Umm al-Baneen has given birth to a son, Imam was in the mosque, and he rushes home, runs home, and comes straight and says, where is the baby? Says, the baby is here. Comes and hugs and kisses the baby and starts kissing the arms of the baby. Cries a lot. The mother is disturbed. Says that, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, is there anything wrong with the baby? Is there a defect in his arms, in his hands, that you kiss his arms and hands so much? Imam says, defect? These arms, these hands are strong, and they would perform all those miracles that no one could ever perform. And then he says that these arms, these hands will be amputated, will be severed on the day of Ashura, and that too in the service of his brother Aba Abdullah. It's amazing that the lesson of freedom which we learn from the tragedy of Karbala, and the lesson of loyalty that was shown by Abul Fadl al-Abbas towards his brother, it's amazing. When Amir al-Mu'mineen is in his last moments and he has his wasiyyah, calls his son Imam al-Mujtaba and calls each one member and his children and says that this is the Imam after me. I want every one of you to be with him, to support him in every instance and in every walk of life. Ummul Baneen, she steps forward and says that you called everyone, you called all your children, why not Abul Fadl, why not Abbas? Was there anything wrong that you've seen in him, that his hand was not given in the hands of Imam Mujtaba? And then Amir al-Mu'mineen says that that's not the case. And then he calls Aba Abdullah al-Hussein and then calls Abul Fadl al-Abbas and says these are the two who have to be together. And says, Abbas, you have to support your brother until the last moment. And if you see that loyalty that was seen by Abul Fadl al-Abbas on the day of Ashura is amazing. That when the task is given to him, that the water has to be brought for the household, for the children, he dips his hands into the water. Someone who is dehydrated and thirsty and seeing all that water he could have drunk, he dips his hands but says that loyalty does not allow me to have a sip of that. First it should be the household, first it should be my brother Hussein and then to me. And again, this lesson of loyalty is amazing and can be seen even today. As it was mentioned that someone who is connected to Allah, he lives according to the definition of Amir al-Mu'mineen. That life is even seen today. In a book which is Siyahat al-Sharq, written by Allama Qochani, there he says that it was one of these days like we have now, the days of Arba'een, and people, they used to walk to the shrine of Aba Abdullah on that day of Arba'een, and it was a long walk. They used to walk bare feet, and they say that he wanted to rush and he did not want the caravan to lose. He goes without having water with him. He says that I thought that if I was in need of water, if I was thirsty, I will ask someone to give that water to me. But it so happens that there wasn't anyone, and a person who is thirsty and dehydrated, he rushes and he walks faster. He says that when I was walking faster and faster, it was a vision which opens before me and I see that plain and the land of Karbala in front of me, and how everything is collapsing, everything is perishing, and children rushing and running from here and there, all those bodies laid in that desert. And then he says that I reached the shrine of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. And then when I come to the shrine, my feet, with all that running and with no slippers and shoes in them, they were bleeding. I come to the shrine of Aba Abdullah, wash my feet, and then the clock strikes six. And instead of the bells ringing, I hear the call and the cry of Aba Abdullah saying, Hal min nasirin yansurni? Is there anyone who will help me? And then he says that at that time I hear the bells of the haram of Abul Fadl al-Abbas, they too strike. And instead of the bells ringing, I see and I hear labbaik, labbaik, labbaik 6 times. Ana la'natullah ala al-qalb al-zalimin. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولمن وجب له حق علينا ولمن وصانا بالدعاء ولجميع أمة محمد وآل محمد. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala expedite in the reappearance of our Imam, our Master, and may he enlist us among his best supporters and his best servants. May Allah jalla wa ala enlist our children among the best Muslims who ever existed. May he tabaraka wa ta'ala grant all the wishes, desires and wants of all those present in this majlis. All those who have passed away, may Allah elevate their ranks, forgive them, waive them, and may he shower his mercy more and more on them. May Allah Jalla Wa'ala never depart us from this dunya, never separate us from Quran and Ahlul Bayt. May that be in this dunya, Barzakh and Qiyamah. Matam-e Hussain.